I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. One of the Bush administration's legacies is supposed to be a nuclear deal with India, but the deal is now in jeopardy, not only from the U.S. Congress, but from a little-known, powerful international organization. The Nuclear Suppliers Group and its 45 member nations govern the selling of nuclear materials and technology, and some in the group don't like the Indian nuclear deal. As The World's Katie Clark reports, they see it as a threat to the entire effort to limit the spread of nuclear weapons.
Discussions over lifting a ban on nuclear trade with India have been controversial from the start. For one thing, India hasn't signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. That means the Bush administration's proposal would require the Nuclear Suppliers Group to change its rules. Those rules currently restrict trade with countries like India that don't allow comprehensive international inspections or safeguards over all nuclear facilities. For another thing, India has tested nuclear bombs in the past and it's refused to rule out doing so again. Nevertheless, speaking in 2006, President Bush called it an achievement for the whole world when he signed into law a nuclear deal with India. It allows India to buy U.S. reactors and fuel.
After 30 years outside the system, India will now operate its civilian nuclear energy program under internationally accepted guidelines, and the world is going to be safer as a result.
But before any nuclear trade resumes with India, the Nuclear Suppliers Group has to come to a consensus on the language of the deal. And a consensus at this point is far from certain. A Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman yesterday reiterated Beijing's concerns about the deal now before the Nuclear Suppliers Group. She said China urges caution and hopes the peaceful use of nuclear energy needs will be balanced against concerns about weapons development. What she didn't say was that China's worried about another American ally on its borders, particularly one armed with nuclear weapons. Daryl Kimball is executive director of the Arms Control Association in Washington.
India has said that it needs this exemption in order to expand its nuclear power industry, and indeed India does have a uranium shortage. That means that most of its existing power reactors are operating well below capacity. And the Bush administration has claimed that this deal would bring additional Indian reactors under international safeguards.
However, Kimball counters that bringing a few additional reactors under safeguards won't make much difference.
If international suppliers provide India with uranium for their power reactors, that will free up India's limited uranium reserves for exclusive use in its nuclear bomb sector, and it would allow India to increase its bomb-making capacity.
Others argue that the India nuclear deal sets up one set of rules for one country, while other nations less friendly to the U.S. and the West are held to a different standard. Ashley Tellis of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace helped negotiate the nuclear agreement between Washington and Delhi. He says rather than holding India to a different standard, the Bush administration considers India an exception.
Unlike North Korea or Iran, which developed nuclear weapons in violation of what were freely accepted treaty commitments, the Indians, in a sense, did not violate explicit treaty commitments. And so the argument that the administration made was that this is a country that is sitting outside the regime, has not done anything illegal, and has an impeccable record with respect to protecting its nuclear assets.
Besides, the deal is potentially worth billions of dollars to U.S. and European companies dealing with nuclear materials and technology. President Bush is eager to seal the deal with India before leaving office. To that end, Undersecretary of State William Burns is being dispatched to tomorrow's meeting of the Nuclear Suppliers Group in Vienna. He'll continue to press the administration's case. For The World, this is Katie Clark.